Hi, and welcome to the Intuitive Insights podcast series. I'm Nina Lockwood, the founder and chief exec of Intuitive Talent Solutions. We work with leading transport organisations in the UK and bring them together with a diverse and talented candidate network for interim and permanent roles. The people who know me know that I like to immerse myself in good conversation. And over the course of the podcast series, I will be joined by some exceptionally talented leaders from the UK transport sector to talk about their careers, the industry, leadership, challenges and opportunities, and much more besides. I do hope that you'll join me and that you'll be inspired by my fabulous guests and their intuitive insights. Hello and a very warm welcome to a special episode of the Intuitive Insights podcast to celebrate International Women's Day 2024 with my special guest, Rachel Gellier-Massey, Customer Service Director for Great Western Railway. Rachel Gellier-Massey. Now, first and foremost, have I pronounced your name right? I should have checked this with you. Have I pronounced your surname correctly?
It's Gellier-Massey.
Gellier-Massey.
I'll go with it. Honestly, you can't have that name. You get all sorts shouted out when you're waiting in the doctor's surgery.
Yeah, I bet you do. I just really should have checked that with you before we even came on to record. So my apologies. But yes, I'm sure you do get loads of different versions of it. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome you to this special edition of the Intuitive Insights podcast that we're doing for International Women's Day 2020. So Rachel, you're the Customer Service Director of Great Western Railway, 3 weeks into that new role, which we're very excited about. From looking at it from a rail industry perspective, delighted that you've come across from the bus industry to spread some of your magic over here too. So very excited to hear more about that. But in time-honoured fashion for this podcast, I'm going to ask you to share your story, to take us back to the beginning. In terms of your career, tell us where you've been, what you've been up to, and how you've come to be in this role with GWR.
Oh, thank you. Well, my journey, I mean, very much so, my career has been a transport career. I joined a graduate management program back in 2007 for stagecoach, entering the bus world. Prior to that, actually, when I'd been working through higher education, I'd actually been in retail management, mainly shoe shops, and I'd been very customer facing and really getting that feeling of what it's like to deliver a service for a customer in the retail side. But I knew retail wasn't for me. I wanted to go into something else. So the options were available to me, and I drew on some personal experiences that I had, which was that my mum and my dad had both met each other on the buses, right. In Stagecoach East Midlands. My dad was a bus driver. My mum was what was a clippy back in those days. So she would sell the tickets on the bus, and they met, and I was the product of that. And so I grew up in a very transport household. And we know that whether it's in the bus sector or whether it's rail, there is that theme of families and generations of people actually following in those footsteps. So I was a product of that in the bus world. I didn't intend to be, actually, when I was looking at graduate programs out there. It wasn't straight away in my head thinking it has to be transport, but I wanted something that would really immerse me and help me learn about what it was I was going to be doing. And what appealed to me about that graduate program was that the first thing you would go and do is actually learn to drive a bus and then go and drive on local networks and serve customers. So that got me straight away. I couldn't think of anything more exciting than actually driving a double-decker bus. And being out there, so I signed up for that, and it was amazing. I got to clean buses. I got to do oil changes on buses, working in the engineering team. I was there with the graph paper and working out the trapeze system, actually learning how the scheduling works for the planning behind the scenes. So it was a really immersive experience. And it was great for me. And I think those principles of putting together those building blocks of what everybody does in an organization, it's actually served me quite well. I'm actually, as you say, I've just joined GWR, and it's that same element of how can I put together those building blocks to really understand how the whole experience comes together. So joined Stagecoach in 2007, and I guess another way that I consider myself very lucky, is that I had the opportunity to work in different parts of the UK. So rather than just getting a job in my own home area, which was the East Midlands. I've actually never worked in the East Midlands in transport, but I have worked in Scotland. I've worked in the north of England, the southeast, and for a big chunk of my most recent history in the west of England. So I've managed to do this wonderful tour of the whole of the country. Really experience in different cultures, different ways that people have gone about things. And I've just really enjoyed practicing my art, learning how to lead teams and getting the chance to try that in new ways in new parts of the UK. So I did that with Stagecoach, very operational, very customer facing. My world has always been around the delivery of a service to a customer. So that was drawing from what I'd learned from retail, and it's been able to be alive within the transport roles I've done. And I went through operational management roles, and then I became an operations director in the west of England, back in 2014, which was incredible, getting to experience that next level of a leadership role. And I reached another landmark of then being able to become the managing director of those bus services in the west of England about 3 years ago. So it's been wonderful in terms of that sort of bus journey. I became a managing director at a time that two bus companies were being merged together. So not only did I get the chance to become a brand new managing director for the first time, it was at a point of learning how to navigate a whole team through a pandemic, which was new to all of us. And it was additionally having to navigate bringing two teams and two sets of identities together, for us to form an identity that was one vibrant, happy business to move forward. So I've certainly had an opportunity to really test myself and really grow through making those changes in those roles. And then I've done the ultimate act of disrupting myself, as I like to call it. And I've said I won't just stand still, and be a bus company managing director. I actually want to disrupt myself again, get a new experience, test myself, and take those transferable skills into something new and hopefully make a positive impact. And that leads me to GWR, where I'm 3 weeks into the role.
So customer
So,
service.
yeah, so.
So tell us what that entails, because I know when I speak to different train operating companies, people's roles are quite different, even though their title might be the same or similar. So explain to the audience what that's going to entail, that the customer service director role at GWR.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's exciting. It already existed in a form in GWR, in the sense that the executive team, with their different responsibilities, one member of the executive team, Richard, has been doing a great job at having customer service within his remit, alongside operations, alongside some pretty huge projects that are happening at the moment in the rail sector, which many people will be familiar with. So the idea of my appearance in this executive team is really to try and take that customer service element on for my sole focus, that gives me the responsibility over everybody that delivers that experience to the customer, whether it's on board a train or whether it's out at the stations. It's about 3,000 people in GWR, and it'll be my role to really bring that alive in terms of what those human interactions and connections are, how those experiences feel. And I'll be very much working closely with Amanda in the marketing team to really make our vision for the future come alive. And I'll also be working very closely with Ruth in the HR just to make sure that the proposition for our people accelerates really at the same pace that we want to see the customer proposition accelerate. So it's really exciting because it gets to be my baby, in a way that I'm still getting my thoughts around in terms of what I can do and what I can bring to it, but I'm really enjoying immersing myself and getting the feel for the business.
Yeah, that is music to my ears, what you've just said in relation to working closely with Ruth on the HR, on the employee proposition side. I'm a big fan, going back many, many years when I had a proper job, when I worked for the Royal Bank of Scotland, and customer service was what I did across the kind of half of Scotland. And at that point, I came across Harvard Business School's theory around the service profit chain. And there's elements to it, as I'm sure you're aware, Rachel. But for me, I like things simple. So it's very simple, is that if you look after your people will look after your customers. And if your customers feel loved and looked after, they will stay with you for longer. They will recommend you more to other people and they'll buy more from you. And that is this kind of circle, but it starts with how an organization engages with its people. And that for me is a step that's missed so many times. So that the fact that you're already doing that with Ruth is a real just music to my ears.
It's because I was just going to say, Nina, that we get so process and procedure driven, and there are lots of reasons why we have to have so many processes and procedures to function and to be regulated in the ways that we need to. But ultimately, we're having all these human interactions and experiences, and each of those contacts count. And I think it's just making the people are everything. You can have any process and procedure that you want, but if our connections aren't really strong and if we're not making it easy and simple for ourselves, it's just impossible to make it easy and simple for anybody else to access from the customer point of view. So I think they can't be split apart, and I just hope I can be part of that glue in the team to just help us align all of those elements to make one great product.
Yeah, I love that. I shall watch with interest how that goes. I predict great success with that. I want to bring you back to a phrase that you used earlier on when you were describing your career at Stagecoach. And I'm picking you up on it because a number of guests on this podcast have used this same phrase. So I can't not challenge you on it because I've challenged all of them on it. And it is a very positive challenge, so don't be concerned. But you use the phrase, I was very lucky. And people watch this podcast, tune into this podcast, because they love hearing other people's career stories. And a lot of the feedback that I get from people is that it inspires them in terms of their career and what they can do next. And they might be kind of quite early on in their career in the transport industry. And they're kind of looking for hints and tips on how they can progress their career. How can they develop themselves? So whenever anyone says, well, I've been lucky, I always want to come back to that and say, okay, let's just dig a bit deeper there. Why were you lucky? What is it about you that has made you lucky enough to do the roles that you've done?
I think I generally look at my life with a real big sense of gratitude for the people that have supported me on my journey, because I think that It's definitely twofold. I've absolutely 100% learned that you can't sit back and wait for other people to take you on that journey that you want to go on. You've got to be really committed to your own personal development, your own learning, get yourself out there, and absolutely, you are there creating opportunities for yourself through your own efforts and commitment. The other element of it is getting those great allies and advocates across your career, connecting with the right kind of people that see something in you. When you make sure that they see something in you, I always say be really loudly ambitious. Nobody can read your mind and know where you want to get to, so be loud about that ambition. But it's connecting with the kind of people that can then be that ally to you and help you on your way. And I've absolutely had that experience where for each of those steps across my career, I'm proud of the things I've managed to achieve by growing through my own efforts. But I'm also so grateful for the people that have helped me be a better person in terms of the way that they've challenged me or helped me develop. So I think it's that combination of you and others coming together and making those opportunities real, really.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I have this vision of people kind of sitting there saying, "Oh, well, I'm not as lucky, so that's not going to happen to me." And I'm just a firm believer that if you have your eyes open to opportunity, it is all around you. And you have to have a commitment, don't you, and a confidence as well to say, "Well, there's an opportunity there, and I could just kind of shy away from it and stay over here and stay in the shadows a bit, or I could go for it." And I love that expression that you've used, loudly ambitious. I absolutely love that because you're right. Nobody knows if you're interested in another opportunity or you're ready to move on unless you give them that. Tell them a bit more about yourself and who you are and what you want to do next.
Think it's some people have better access than others to some of those opportunities. I mean, I was a first in my family to go to university. I grew up on I lived at a couple of council estates in Mansfield in the East Midlands. That was absolutely not an affluent area, and I don't know the percentages of kids in that in either of the estates of who went on to do other things in higher education and what careers that they would have been able to access. But I'm sure those statistics wouldn't have been great. And so I absolutely was lucky to have great parents that were really great role models, transport role models, but just parental role models, and making sure that they kept me on track with doing the higher education, which was my particular route. I'm glad that there are many ways to access opportunities that don't just involve higher education, but I'm really pleased that my mum and dad were really firm with me on that. And to be able to get to the types of roles that I've done today, I do feel very proud of that, because I do wonder how many kids from my childhood actually are able to get out of that environment and access other things, which is why I think it matters to me even more greatly about how we access people into these careers, and we make sure that people can dream big and not think that they are limited just because they maybe haven't got a lot of those role models around them. Actually, you can do it, because I feel like I'm there doing it myself.
Yes, yeah, a brilliant role model. And there's been some things that you've said through kind of this part of the conversation that have given me some hints in terms of what your answers might be to the next bit of the conversation that we're going into. So I said at the beginning of the podcast today that this was a special edition, a special episode of the Intuitive Insights podcast to celebrate International Women's Day. So for 2024, the theme is Inspire Inclusion. And so the description that we're given about what that means is that when we inspire others to understand and value women's inclusion, we forge a better world. And when women themselves are inspired to be included, there's a sense of belonging, relevance, and empowerment. So I would love to have a conversation around inspiring inclusion, both from your own perspective. So as you look back over your career so far, what has made you feel included? What do you do to include others? And what would you like to see if we were giving you the normal three wishes that I give to my guests on the podcasts? What would you like to see change, Rachel, in the transport industry in terms of enabling us as an industry to inspire inclusion?
Yeah, thank you. And the theme this year, it's not one day a week to celebrate it, as we know, it's embedding it into every fabric of what we're doing every day of the year as we move forward as business leaders or people working within businesses who aim to be leaders of the future. I think in terms of being included, I think it's so important, the feeling of whether you belong or not. Because that's what I think being included, I think about whether you belong. That's the first sort of connection I make. And I've had different experiences in the past of how well I felt like I do belong or not. I think what's helped me, I come back to it's the people that have been my allies and my mentors over the years, because I'm like a lot of people. I've had the self-doubt. I've had the feelings of imposter syndrome. I've doubted whether my voice at the table is as relevant as other people's voices at the table. And I've been quiet at that point, not knowing if I've really got some value to add. But I think having people you can go to that you can be open with to share those fears and those apprehensions, I've always managed to then overcome them and actually realize that all the ways that I am different is actually, that's the USP I have to add to that table. That's the value. And we know our business strategies are going to be at an incredible standstill if everybody comes from the same perspective. So I think I felt included after having those pep talks from the people that have sort of mentored and supported me. In terms of what I want to see happen in businesses, in terms of how we can make a positive impact on inclusion, I think I'm a firm believer. I've heard the term before that if it gets measured, it gets done. Knowing our numbers in terms of how inclusive we are in the first place in a business, we should all know our numbers, know actually where we're at today in terms of is our environment inclusive just in terms of who makes up the fabric of our employee base. So I do really think it's important to make sure that we do measure where we're at so that we've actually got firm, proper targets to make sure that we are moving in the right direction and we know if we're making progress, we know if we're going backwards, or we know if we're at a standstill. And I've been really reassured so far, even though I'm only in week three of GWR world. Again, echoing the Ruth comment, I'm really impressed to see how well it's already embedded in terms of who's at the table, what our numbers are throughout the business, throughout the different roles, and what those patterns and trends are. Because I just think that that already gives me that confidence that we're on it, that we recognize that it's important, because we realize that it's inclusion is the key to business success commercially, but culturally, socially, morally, in every way.
Absolutely.
So that really inspires me. And then what else did you want me to draw out
It
in
was
terms of?
kind of in terms of you as a leader, and I know I'm going to make you blush a bit here, but
Oh, gosh.
when it was announced that you were leaving Stagecoach to go to Great Western, you broke the internet, Rachel. LinkedIn was like, because I'd commented on the post, I then get notified about every other comment that comes on, and my phone was flashing constantly. Some of the co all of the comments, not some of them, all of the comments just showed us this picture of someone who has really grabbed hold of what a leader in this day and age needs to behave like and to be like. So this isn't me saying this. This is people who've worked with you who were making the most amazing comments about the type of leader and manager that you are. So I'm really curious to know, and it might be stuff, I don't imagine for one minute that you think, oh, right, on my list of things to do today is to show that I'm an inclusive leader. But what comes naturally to you in terms of how you treat people within your team to encourage that sense of belonging, whoever they are?
Yeah, I think because I do introspect and try and think, because it's really important to me that I'm always growing to be the best business leader I can be, because people are entitled to have someone that wants to grow, and I never think I've stood still and that I'm a perfect product in the role that I do. I always know I've got opportunities to be better. So I do consider how we go about things, and I think my sort of approach has always been that I get the most enjoyment and motivation and inspiration when I'm talking to people that are real people out there doing real roles. And I think it comes back to when I said that the start of my bus journey was being out there driving buses in the engineering department, learning how to clean the bus properly. I think that I really value are real people's experiences and views. And I think my greatest fear as a leader is that detachment that can grow from those layers that stand between ourselves and a front line. So I think that I'm always striving to try and skip past that and make sure that I have as much connection as possible. And I get the feedback that because I am a down-to-earth, normal person that loves to get out there and chat to people, I feel that that gets received really well, because those interactions I think do matter to people out there just as much as it matters to me, because it gives me bags of inspiration to take away. So I think having that connection, I think not making those connections overly formal. I think that if you formalize it too much, you can lose some of the truth and some of the honesty that people will share with you. And I don't think we'll build strategies that will really tackle the right challenges if we don't give people that psychological safety to be open and honest with you. So I'm always really encouraging people that they can give me the unfiltered view on how they really think and how they really feel, and they can be safe doing that, because it will mean that I have the best strategy possible to try and work on solutions for that. So I guess that's sort of my approach, and that serves me well. And absolutely, in the role that I'm doing now, I have every intention on following those same principles that have served me well across my career.
I shall look forward to seeing that. Absolutely. I think you're a brilliant role model, just off what I know of you. The comments that people made when they found out that you were moving into this new role, a testament to that, the fact that you were a brilliant role model. We know, because it's true, that you have to, in this kind of, if we're thinking again about International Women's Day, you have to see it to be it. So there you are. You've had a very senior position in the bus side of the transport industry, having worked your way up right from the front line all the way through. I hadn't realised that you'd driven the bus. I didn't know that bit of your story. I'm like, oh my God, Caroline's done that, and so I'm quite jealous because she's driven a bus in East Yorkshire, and now her and Mel were out on a boat on the Tyne the other week. They went up to visit the Port of Tyne. So I haven't done any of
Yeah,
this. I'm missing
I love it.
a
Yeah, I've done the
no.
tram as well. That also was very exciting. One of my first questions to Mark was, and trains, can I possibly? I'm not sure, but I'll try my best. Leave it with me.
Oh my goodness, I shall look forward to seeing that. But this kind of see it to be it thing. So we've got, as a role model, you are a brilliant example. If what would you say if you were going to be on an advert
Yeah.
for a job? Do you know, like the Royal Navy did that advert where it's all very exciting, and then the fella comes on at the end and says he was born in Blyth but made in the Royal Navy. If you were going to be the equivalent of him in that, and you were
Yeah.
advertising, you were encouraging people to consider a career in the transport industry, what would be your kind of, your strap line, Rachel? What would you, I'm sorry, I'm aware I'm dumping this on you, but it's only just come into my head.
I know. I think, and it's, I already know it's the same in bus, as I've learned, it already is in rail so far, that yes, we've got all this infrastructure and it might be a bus or it might be a train, but it really is people. And I think my strap line would be something along the lines of, come and join a company where you can belong, and we can celebrate the value you bring to this organization, and you can do a job that just can make someone's day, can bring people joy, can connect people to the most essential parts of their life. And that really makes a difference, because without that connectivity, with the, we cannot function in this country. And, so I think it is really vital. And it's been tricky, whether it's in bus or in rail. There have been some huge challenges that have been faced and we still face today. It's by no means an easy job for somebody to step into. It takes some real resilience and courage to work in a frontline customer-facing role with so many perfect storm variables happening in the backdrop. But do you know what? There's joy in there as well, because you read the commendations, the positive elements, something might go awry, but then somebody contacts you to say, this is how this person converted that experience and gave me this really incredible feeling because of how they helped. And so even in the face of sometimes a tough day, there still can be those magic moments that happen in there as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I read something on social media. It's a few months ago now, but me and my team often refer to this, where we talk a lot about triggers. Do you know there are
Yeah.
things that trigger a negative emotion usually, but we're focusing very much on finding the glimmers, not the triggers.
Oh,
So it's
I love it.
glimmers of joy. It's kind of, and it's not mine, it's something, some clever person's come up with it on Instagram, but I love the image of this, that there are lots of glimmers in every single day, even in a bad
Yeah.
day. But it's having that opportunity to re stand back, reflect on it, and say, right, okay, where were those moments, those magic moments in the day? Where did I find the joy? And there are lots of them, because we've got an industry full of incredible people, really amazing people, who are pitching up day in and day out and delivering a service in quite often really challenging circumstances. So we need
Yes.
to celebrate that more, is my
100%.
opinion.
Yeah, totally agree with you. I mean, I love to call it hero moments. Like every day, hero moments are happening. It's not even just the glimmers of what you hope you're going to experience when you're making a journey, but sometimes, people are stepping in and doing something that's far beyond, that's totally heroic and beyond what a job description might have stated that they needed to do. And again, it comes back to, if you can have as much connection as you can with the front line and get out there, you are amongst those heroes, experiencing their magic. And I think it's wonderful. We're very, very lucky to have teams of people doing all this great stuff.
Absolutely. And you know what? It doesn't matter what company I'm in, as in, where I am, at what events, everything, when the discussion comes round to what matters most, yes, of
Yeah.
course, we need an infrastructure. We need tracks to run a train on. We need the trains. We need the buses. We need the signals, etc. We do need the infrastructure, but
Yeah.
actually, it's all about the people.
Yeah.
That's what it comes back to. And an amazing group of people who I say turn up day in, day out to deliver a service. I'm really looking forward to you making a huge success of the role at GWR. I've loved this conversation today, and you've shared some really great stuff with us in terms of inspiring inclusion, which is, as I say, the theme for International Women's Day in 2024. So, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me. I have loved the conversation, and I'm wishing you every success in your future career.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Nina.
My huge thanks to Rachel for sharing her career story with us in her own inimitable style, full of enthusiasm and energy, which I absolutely love. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did, and I would love you to share it amongst your network, spread a bit of sunshine, and inspire people as to what a career in the transport industry could look like. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate your support. I'll see you next time.